Good morning. All right, what a nice crowd today. Well, luxury or necessity is the title. And those are great verses that Phil read. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that's a little different version than what's in the bulletin, but that's the one I memorized when I was younger. And my question is your faith a luxury or a necessity? Now, I remember when cell phones came out. Now, raise your hand if you think it's a luxury. Oh, more than I expected. Now, of those that said it's a luxury, how many look at it every hour? Almost everybody. Okay, all right. So maybe not so much of a luxury, but it is. It is a luxury. I remember when they came out, I thought, well, when the price goes under $30 a month, I'll get one. Well, it never happened that I recall. It was like years went by, and I thought, they're just getting fancier. And the phones get fancier, and the plans get better, and they just keep you wanting it, and yet the price never came down like I expected. So eventually I gave in, and I got a cell phone, and now I think it's a necessity. Because we don't have home phones. Who knows what a home phone is? If you're my age, you know what a home phone is. I asked my son, what's a home phone? He said, well, that's the cell phone that's home the most. And I think that's kind of what we've transitioned into that. Most people don't have a landline anymore. So a cell phone starts to become a necessity. Well, what does that have to do with faith, you say? I think it's important that our faith is a necessity. The verse that Phil read today, one of the verses, without faith, it is impossible to please God. As a Christian, do you feel like you need to please God? Do you feel like it's important that you please God? I hope you feel that way. I hope that you would say, yes, that's one of my responsibilities, is to please God. And so then faith becomes a necessity for you. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. Not you might please God. No, it's impossible. So what is faith? Well, that first verse there, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's a little different in your bulletin. I forget the wording there. But you can look at it. What are you hoping for is the message. If you're not hoping for something, we prayed for a few things today here, some joys and concerns. What are you hoping for? What are you looking to God for? What are you putting your faith in? A desire that you're hoping for something. If you sit back and you're content with life as it is right now, and you're not hoping for anything different, then I don't see where you could have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, I hope to go to heaven. So I have faith right there, but that's kind of an out there one. What's a daily thing that you are hoping for? Good health for you, for your family. It drives us to prayer. It drives us to exercise our faith every day. If your faith is a luxury, you might grab hold of it once a year and you might say, well, I really am thankful that I have faith today. And for the next 364 days, you're content without acting on your faith, without hoping for something, without telling God what your hope is, what your faith is. It's my hope that every month, every week, even every day, you are hoping for something, that you're calling out to God and saying, God, I need you. I want you. I want to hear from you. What are you hoping for? That's the question. And if you're not hoping, then you're not acting in faith. And then you're not pleasing God. And that's a sad thing. As a Christian, we should be pleasing God. He created us for His own pleasure. And now that we know how to please Him, it's important that we act on that. You know, I remember when I was really young, first grade, 6 years old, and I enjoyed pleasing people. My first grade teacher, I still remember the day I was standing there waiting for her to get done talking to another teacher. And I stood quietly at her desk, waiting patiently. And when she was done talking, she asked me to tell her what I wanted. And I can't remember what I wanted, but she was so happy that I stood there quietly, and it was so easy to please her. But you know what? We're not to focus on pleasing people. We're not to get accolades from people, from our teachers, from our coworkers, from those around us. We're to please God. If we're concerned about pleasing people, then our focus is off of God and pleasing God. And that's a big mistake. Is your life pleasing God? Are you living by faith? How often do you grab hold of your faith? How often do you tell God, this is what I'm hoping for and this is what I want from you? Every day you should be doing that. Then your faith is a necessity because you're making use of it every day. The question is not if you have faith. Everybody has faith. Some people have faith in themselves, in their abilities, their skills, their friends, their family, their work, their money. James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe and shudder. That doesn't make you special to believe that there's a God. The demons have faith in that fact. I heard this quote, the atheist has faith that his rational reasoning has removed the possibility of God. Even the atheist can have faith. But where is his faith anchored? I want to talk about anchoring. The bulletin cover probably confused you today. It's like, what is that about? Well, if you're walking up this mountainside, it doesn't take a lot of faith to pull yourself up. This rope is anchored up here. And you don't have to have a lot of faith that it's safe. Because even if the anchor gives way, you just kind of slide down a little ways. But if you're one of these other two people and you lose your grip, you're probably hoping that anchor is well secured and in a good spot. You know, when I was younger, I used to do rock climbing along the river between Wisconsin and Minnesota there, St. Croix area. And we always tied off from the top, and it was always safe. I can't imagine doing something like this. Wayne was asking if this was a picture of my wife, and I couldn't confirm that, but I've never seen her rock climb, so I doubt that that's her. But I never did anything crazy like that. And I remember being fearful of grabbing the next spot. And you'd stand there too long, and pretty soon your legs, you got sewing machine leg, because you start, your muscles are tensing up, and you're having a hard time functioning well. And so you want to keep moving when you're rock climbing. But you want to have a good anchor as well. I read this, I also wanted to talk about zip lining. Now, somebody in this crowd has a zip line. And if you find out who it is, then maybe you can ask him if you can try that out. I haven't got to try it out yet, but I have been on a zip line. And I want to tell a little story about that. So I actually brought a couple pictures. So a zip line, you stand on a platform and the cable is secured to the tree and then over to another tree. And my wife and I were with the Kellers in Mexico, and we went to a place where they did zip line. I think there was a dozen or so different courses that you would jump on and you'd zip across. And they started you on a low one, maybe 10 feet off the ground or something. And you'd go like halfway across the room or across the room, and they kind of get you used to it and teach you how to, the right technique. And it was important that the cable was secure, that it had a good anchor point. Well, this is what similar to what we saw in Mexico, how they anchored the cable. And so the second or third cable, I hook on and I zipped across, and my wife was behind me. She was going next. And as I hopped on, one of the cables broke off. Now, I'm a little heavier than her, but I didn't know about it till she got to the other end and she told me about it. And she said to the guy, "Well, is it safe? One of those came off." And he said, "Oh yeah, there's another one." It's like, okay. So she hopped on and she made it. But then you get to some higher ones and you're thinking, what if those clamps gave way? You know? And this is what it looks like when you look down. That we went across a river and it was about that far down. And I don't know, you're trusting your life in this clamp. And it was kind of scary actually after hearing that one of them had fallen off. So I think that a good anchor is a luxury. A luxury or a necessity? Which one would you think? If you were going across that high of a zip line, you'd probably want to make sure that the anchor is holding well. I read a story about that Max Licata had shared how he survived in a hurricane. And an old sailor told him, "Take your boat out to deep water, throw four anchors, one off each corner, and ride it out and pray that those anchors hold." And he did that, and he survived the storm. And I think that that kind of relates to us. How do you survive a storm in your life? You need a good anchor. Where is your anchor? I believe that your anchor is your faith. And what is your faith in? We talked about how some people put their faith in money or their job or their friends or their abilities, their skills. Those anchors, they won't hold. When you get storms in life, you need Christ to be your anchor point. Just like a cell phone can become a necessity, it can transfer from a luxury to a necessity. I believe that. So your faith can as well. It can move from being a luxury item that you take off the shelf once a year, twice a year, to something that you grab daily and you say, "God, I am hoping for this. I am believing in this. Make it happen. In Jesus' name, amen." Use your faith every day. Where can you find a faith that's strong enough to get you through the storms of life that you face? We all have storms in our lives. Some are bigger than others, but Christ is big enough to be the anchor point for all of our struggles, all of our storms. The Apostle Paul, he knew how important faith was. And he gives us a great picture of faith. In his first letter, 1 Peter, things were changing. First century church was changing. The government was concerned about this new religious sect. and was trying to figure out how to control them. Peter understood that, and he desired that we be strong, that they be strong in their faith as well as we should be. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he talks about proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold. You know, many of us would enjoy having a brick of gold. It'd be so valuable. You wouldn't even be able to comprehend how much it's worth, because it's so crazy, the value of gold. But Peter's saying that our faith has more value than gold. And it's eternal. You don't lose it. Somebody can't steal it from you like they could a brick of gold. Are you living a life of faith? Are you grabbing hold and making it a necessity in your life? Putting value in it and saying, I want to keep it active. My faith, I want to see it in action. I want to please God with my faith. Peter was encouraging them to do the same as he spoke to that church. Sooner or later, the storms in life will hit you. Maybe today you're having a great day, maybe not. But where do you turn? What are you hoping for? Where is the anchor in your life? Are you anchored in Christ? In verse 6 of 1 Peter 1, it says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, proving the genuineness of your faith. We go through trials to help us to prove our faith. If you didn't have any trials, why would you need faith? Why would you need Christ? Other than for eternal life. But here on earth today, we have need of Christ through storms. God wants us to have a tested faith so that we can prove the value is greater than gold. We can all be rich in this faith, having strong faith in pleasing God. And not only is it valuable, but it reveals our hearts. You know, if a goldsmith wanted to purify a pile of gold that he had found in the mine, they melt it down and the impurities come to the top. And they sift that away and they heat it up some more and the impurities come back. And pretty soon you have pure gold. And you can even see a reflection in the gold because it's so pure. But you can't see your reflection if there's impurities on the top layer of that gold. Is that how your life is? Are you refined? Is your life reflecting that of Christ? Just like gold, reflecting the image of Christ. He desires that. We are to imitate Him and reflect Him to others. And that happens through faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the reality of things not seen. What is your true anchor? Is your anchor a necessity for you, or is it just a luxury? Once in a while, you make use of that anchor. Oh, God, please help me today. And then next year, you ask Him for help again. Or do you rely on Christ every hour, every day, kind of like your cell phone. Sometimes I put my cell phone away, and I'm sorry if you try to get a hold of me. I just have to put it away sometimes. And oftentimes somebody tries to call me and I can get back to them. But don't do that with your faith. Don't put it away and say, I don't want my faith for a few days, or maybe next month I'll bring it out and make use of it. We need our faith to be active. We need it to be tested. We need to capture the value of it, to see that in our lives so we can show that to others. One of my favorite writers is pastor and author Warren Wiersbe. He wrote this: faith enables us to turn from the approval of the world and seek only the approval of God. Faith can operate in the life of any person who will dare to listen to God's word and surrender to God's will. Faith can act in your life. Are you ready and willing to surrender to His will? Surrender to God's will. Is your faith strong? Is it mature? Not only being a necessity, but is it growing? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're not in Scripture, if you're not reading God's Word, then your faith can't grow. Faith comes by hearing God's Word. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without reading God's Word, it's also impossible to grow in faith. You need to be doing both. You need to be hoping for things. You need to be reading God's Word every day. Faith is possible to all kinds of believers in all kinds of situations. It's not a luxury for a few elite saints. It's a necessity for every believer, every one of us. It should be a necessity. We are God's people. We need to act on faith. We need to be hoping and telling God what our hopes are. And that way, we can be pleasing to God. Is faith a necessity in your life? Today, we'll be sharing communion together shortly after the service. And it's an expression of remembering what Christ did for us. It's part of our faith. And we've had great turnouts here for communion. So many people stay after. We've had about 40 people stay after. Thank you. Thank you for showing your faith and being wise and pleasing God by acting on what you believe. I read this quote from Blaise Pascal. In faith, there's enough light for those who want to believe. There's enough light for those who want to believe. But also in faith, there's enough shadows to blind those who don't. If you don't want to believe, there's enough shadows there to give you that ability to shy away. Where are you at? Are you seeing the light? Are you grabbing hold of faith and believing faith and using your faith and maturing your faith and pleasing God through that? Jesus Christ said this, John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Are you following Christ? Is your faith strong? Have you anchored your life in Christ? Are you hoping for things and telling Him about it every day? Are you pleasing God in that way? I would hope so. I would encourage you to do so. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for giving us the ability to have faith in Christ. Father, help us to make use of that faith. Help us to see it as a necessity in our lives, that we would please you, that we would grow in faith, and that we would mature, and that we would be a shining light, that we would reflect Christ to others. Lord, help us this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.